From the All Ireland Business Foundation, this is Elaine Carl bringing you AIBF Business Talk. AIBF is an independent national body tasked with enterprise development and the promotion of best-in-class businesses as business all-stars. Today, I catch up with Seamus Ruan, Business All-Star Pharmacist of the Year for 2024 and founder of iThrive Academy, who believes that by making a few key interventions, people can do so much to positively influence their own well-being and life satisfaction. Thank you so much for joining me on AIBF Business Talk today, Seamus. Seamus, your own background is very interesting because, you know, you are a pharmacist, but you've really transitioned from the world of pharmacy and medicine to embracing, you know, well-being holistically. Tell us about that transition and maybe more so the why.
Yes, thanks, Elaine. Thanks for having me on the podcast. I'm delighted to be here with you. So very early on in my career as a pharmacist, it became very clear to me that medicines, although really, really important and, life-enhancing, life-extending, improving the quality of people's lives, that they're only certainly one part of the jigsaw. And, you know, it was very clear to me that in healthcare, there was a deficit in what we were providing. So when we really think about this healthcare, and as a pharmacist, I'm part of healthcare, so I'm not knocking this by a long shot, but that it's very much based on what we call an illness model. And an illness model meaning that people just engage with healthcare where they're feeling the signs and symptoms of sickness or illness or disease. So I can assure you that nobody who's listened to the podcast today has ever gone to their doctor and said, "Doctor, I'm feeling fantastic. I'm feeling wonderful in every single way. I just thought I'd come in and tell you." I can also assure you that there's nobody occupying a hospital bed in any hospital around the country who's nothing wrong with them. Healthcare, it's all about what's wrong, what's broken, what's diseased, and how can we fix it. And the most that healthcare can ever do for you is bring you back to a position of neutral. So you're experiencing signs and symptoms of disease. If healthcare works for you 100% effectively, 100% of the time, which we know it doesn't, the most it can ever do for you is bring you back to neutral, where there's nothing wrong with you. And in well-being circles, I suppose we say when there's nothing wrong with you doesn't necessarily mean that there's all that much right with you. And well-being, as instead of being about what's wrong, what's broken, what's diseased, well-being looks at what's good, what's strong, what's working in our lives. And in well-being, we study people, I suppose, who are thriving, who are flourishing, who are full of energy, full of positive emotions, and see, well, what are they doing? How have they achieved that? And have they left us some clues? So are there tools and techniques that we can take from those people, use them in their own lives to boost their levels of well-being?
Very interesting, especially when you come from the medical background yourself, Seamus, whereby, you know, you understand so much, so more than any of us probably listening here, the importance of medicine and what, you know, how it's required to treat certain illnesses and certain conditions, and it's necessary, you know, for some people's lives to be able to function on a daily basis. But do you feel we've an over-reliance on medicines, maybe particularly over-the-counter, and have become maybe dependent in some respect on sometimes being just prescribed something and thinking this is the solution to my problems?
Absolutely, yeah. I think there is very much that. And that's one of the things that frustrates me about pharmacy and over the years has frustrated me, that we would see patients coming in, filling prescriptions for medications, and I've loads of stories I could tell you in that area. But for example, for something like, you know, high cholesterol, I could see them come in filling the prescription, and then maybe I'd see them going next door to the chipper to get some fish and chips. So, you know, on one hand they're coming in with a medication to lower their cholesterol, on another hand they're going to the chipper to buy essentially a bag of cholesterol. And so I would find that really, really frustrating. You know, there's so much that we can do, so many interventions that we can make ourselves in our lifestyle. And essentially, you know, we hand our power over to the medicine. So we kind of disown our own responsibilities and we rely on medicines to solve our different issues and our problems when many of them are created by our lifestyles. So we don't ask ourselves the important questions. Are we getting exercise? Are we getting quality sleep? What's our diet like? How do we relate? How do we connect with other people? Loads of different avenues that we can investigate if we want to boost our own health and boost our own levels of well-being. So I really think it's important that we take back the responsibility for that, to look after our own levels of well-being.
And I'm coming from this now as a perspective, maybe as a mother, as a wife, as a business owner, you know, as a friend, as a colleague. So there's so many different people, personas that we are individually. So if I'm to show a good example, you know, for example, for the next generation, for my children coming up, what changes can I start to make and to do to make sure that I've them put on the right path day one?
So the first thing I think, Elaine, is to have a bit of clarity about what it is you're trying to achieve, because you know there's that whole idea, the word well-being, it's ubiquitous, it's out there, it's absolutely everywhere. So I can go to my local supermarket and see a well-being aisle. I can go to a health food shop and see well-being crystals and well-being tarot cards. I can, as a pharmacist, pick any journal here and read, you know, clinical trials, medical documents on people's health and well-being. So for a word to be able to span that huge divide from tarot cards and crystals to medical science, I think there's a lot of confusion for what exactly we're talking about animals when we're talking about our well-being. And for me, well-being is really, really simple. It's just your ability to feel good and function effectively. And in any of my programs, I often, you know, I ask the participants, you know, hands up anyone here who'd like to feel good. I'm sure everyone's hand goes up. Hands up here, anyone who'd like to function effectively. And of course, everyone's hands goes up. So it's something that we all really, really want for ourselves. But sometimes we're unsure as to how exactly we go about it. And so back to your question, people want to be sure if they're going to spend time in an area like this, that they're going to get results. And so the area I work in is called positive psychology. And positive psychology essentially is the scientific study of well-being. And what that means to me, it gives me great comfort, because what it means is that if I recommend tools and techniques in positive psychology, we can be guaranteed the work, the science, there's data, there's research behind them. And what positive psychology has done is it's given us a roadmap, given us a model, so that if we implement tools in this model, we know we'll get results. And the model that I use, it's a little modification of the actual model from positive psychology. I just call it the revamp model, R-E-V-A-M-P. So we want to revamp our lives, we want to revamp our well-being. It's easy for people to remember. And so what do we do? So the R stands for relationships. So what we do is the number one thing we can do to boost our levels of well-being is to improve the quality of our relationships and our connections with other people. So what would we do to do that? Have we any tools or techniques to boost our connections with others? The E in the model stands for engagement. Engagement is all about present moment awareness. The more aware we are in our present moments, the richer experience we have of our present moment. So how do we increase that? So no surprises that mindfulness is included in that section. The V is all about vitality, which is kind of the well-being that most people think about when you say you're going to talk about vitality. And vitality is just energy to go about your daily business. And here we look after things like diet, exercise, and good quality sleep. The A in the model then stands for achievement or accomplishment. And this is about setting or working towards goals that are important to us, or can be also about establishing healthy habits. The M in the model stands for a sense of meaning and a sense of purpose. Why do we get out of bed in the morning? Do we know what's the reason for why we do what we do? And the P then stands for positive emotions. So how can we create things like excitement, enthusiasm, love, and joy in our lives? Because the more of those we have in our lives, the higher our levels of well-being will be. So that's a lovely model, I think, and then this, because sometimes people look for, well, what's the secret to well-being? And they look for the latest fad or the latest, you know, craze. But I love that model because, you know, we can easily score ourselves in those six different areas of well-being. And see if we're not actually feeling high levels of well-being at the moment. See, well, maybe we're not focusing enough. So maybe we're neglecting our relationships because we're really, really busy at work. Or maybe we're stressed and anxious, or emotional state is low. So it gives us a lovely roadmap, I think, where we can measure our well-being quite easily and do so on a regular basis to show us, you know, what are the next steps we need to take.
I think that's really good, Seamus. A very good description, because it's so relatable. And each one of those, like relationships, you know, how do we engage with ourselves and with others, the vitality side, you know, how do we go about our daily business, having such sort of goals and aspirations to achieve and feel that sense of accomplishment, making sure that you've got a purpose in life and you've, you know, you're living to your true meaning. But very importantly, then, how do we trigger those positive emotions that will give us that feel good factor and all of that? So it's like a full puzzle, isn't it? A jigsaw. And nothing is complete if one of those, you know, isn't, I suppose, functioning its best. But something that really resonated there with me, Seamus, was the fact that you said, you know, when you look at it in terms of positive psychology, and I think for me as a person maybe that would have, I won't say, I suppose, a type, I won't say a clinical background, but a background that would have been rooted maybe in legislation and that, and you like to look back to maybe evidence from an evidence-based perspective. it sits so well with me when you mention the word positive psychology, because sometimes you can hear the word well-being, you know, passed around and maybe the right weighting or meaning isn't given to it. And maybe I don't mean the seriousness of what, you know, making sure you look after your well-being can actually mean.
Yeah, so I agree with you there. So sometimes people, I think, find it hard to accept that we can study things like happiness and joy. But they have no difficulty accepting that we can study things like depression and anxiety and stress, for example. So it always makes sense to me that if we can study one, and traditionally psychology, I suppose, is based in that kind of pathology. It was all about studying sickness and illness and disease. So we can study depression, anxiety and stress and any kind of mood disorder. And Martin Seligman, who's the founding father of positive psychology, he often described psychology as like a half-baked cake, and that it was obsessed with pathology. And he says, yes, we can learn loads about ourselves and about how we function, about our minds by studying sickness, illness and disease. But he said, we're missing a trick, really, if we don't study the other side of life. So if we study people who experience joy and excitement and enthusiasm and love and happiness, and find out, well, what exactly is it that those people are doing? And if we can replicate that, and if we can insert those things into our lives, then surely then we can begin to experience those as well. And what I find is that oftentimes when we say the word well-being, people think it's a bit of a lightweight, hippy-dippy, airy-fairy kind of a topic. But for me, you know, there's 20 to 25 years of research gone into positive psychology. And that research is just outstanding when you really look at it and show what it can do for us. So we know that when we boost our levels of well-being, it's associated with improvements in almost every single health outcome it's possible to measure. Can you imagine that? Like, that can roll off your tongue very easily, but you just listen. Improving your well-being can lead to improvements in almost every single health outcome it's possible to measure. Just bananas. It's crazy. It's unbelievable, as powerful as it is. We know people who experience high levels of well-being have more positive emotions, more excitement, more enthusiasm, more love and more joy in their lives. They're more aware, they have a richer experience of their present moment. Their relationships and connections with other people improve. They have a greater sense of meaning. They typically achieve more, they're more successful, and they have greater vitality, greater energy to go about their daily business. So the payoff is just absolutely off the charts, enormous. And then sometimes people think, well, what's that got to do with my working life? What's that got to do with a working situation? And in general, I find that the penny is beginning to drop with employees and with corporations and with companies. But we know this, when employees and teams experience high levels of well-being, that they're far more engaged, they're more productive, they get better customer service ratings, they're less likely to quit, they're less likely to burn out. Doesn't that sound like a wish list of what you want for your team or for your employees? And so the key thing then is, well, how do we go about achieving that? And how do we go about, you know, not just seeing this as a bit of an add-on, but seeing well-being as a complete foundation for your life? And I absolutely believe, far from being wishy-washy, far from being hippy-dippy, that well-being, your well-being, is by far the most important aspect of your entire existence. And if you get this right, it acts as a foundation for you to achieve success, whatever that looks like for you, whether that's in your personal life, in your relationships, in your working life. Well-being to me is the secret to it all and the key to it all.
And as you said to me earlier, Seamus, there is no magic pill. It's a combination of making those small incremental changes and doing them consistently.
Absolutely, yes. Well, I love to ask people in workshops or programs, you know, I like to go around and ask people, what do you do to boost your well-being? What do you do to boost your well-being? And go around the room. And what we find is people do loads of different things. So some people might talk about hobbies, about relationships, about connecting with other people, spending time with people. People will talk about exercise, about yoga, about spending time in nature. And what that all tells us really is that well-being isn't a thing. It's a recipe, and there's loads of different ingredients to it.
It's like a cake, you know, it's different things for different people. Seamus, I can't let you go without telling us a little bit about iThrive Academy, which you've set up. I'm very interested to hear of the work and the programs that you do there.
Yeah, so iThrive Academy, I suppose, when I became a little bit frustrated by the whole thing of pharmacy and the over-reliance on medicines, and I also had a couple of incidents in my own life, like where I maybe, even though outwardly I was very, very successful, I had a couple of pharmacy businesses, lovely house, lovely family, but maybe at the time I just wasn't really feeling it. And so I began to investigate different areas. So I studied things like stress management, and yoga teacher training, and like yourself, clinical hypnosis and positive psychology. So just looking into, well, how can we experience that excitement, that enthusiasm and that joy? And it just became a passion for me. I became a little bit obsessed by it in some ways, in many ways. And so I just had this drive to bring that out into the world. And instead of seeing it as being in opposition to what I do in the pharmacy, but to see it to be completely complementary to us. You know, essentially, healthcare, traditional healthcare, this area of well-being, we're all trying to achieve the exact same thing, which was what I go back to, is the ability to feel good and function effectively. And so that's what I set about as my mission with iThrive. So at the moment, I engage with companies, with organizations, and with individuals on a one-on-one basis. I have various programs. My flagship program is called Your Wellbeing Toolkit, which is an 8-week program that I engage with companies and organizations on practical everyday tools to boost well-being that can be incorporated into even the busiest of lifestyles. I also run a retreat, which is more practical in nature, where we get to experience the tools and techniques that I talk about. So instead of just talking about them, we get to experience them as a group. And then I also do one-on-one work with people who feel that they could do with a bit of a tune-up or a boost to their well-being.
Excellent. Seamus, you're an absolute breath of fresh air. I love how your own, I suppose, you know, clinical and medical background has seen you see a complementary side to actually work with companies and people and individuals to optimize their own health and well-being. It doesn't all have to be prescription-based. There are so many steps that we can all take as human beings individually, be it at home, be it in our family, personal, work lives, whatever that is, to make sure that we maintain a healthy work-life balance. And if any of you have any questions or would like to reach out to Seamus for his professional opinion, Seamus, how can somebody get in touch with you?
So I'm on the usual socials. I'm on LinkedIn, Facebook and Instagram, and my website is iThrive.ie. So that's probably the easiest way to get a hold of me, Elaine.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for joining me today on AIBF Business Talk today, Seamus.
Thanks so much, Elaine. It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to AIBF Business Talk today. I really do hope you enjoyed listening in. To find out more about the All-Ireland Business Foundation and the work that we do, especially the Business All-Stars programme, just go to www.aibf.ie. Remember, never put off until tomorrow what you can do today. Until next time, from your host, Elaine Carroll. Goodbye.